So I've been reporting on early stage tech companies for 6 years now. I've talked to a lot of founders in lots of places in the country. Mostly I've approached those questions and those conversations in a weird way for tech press, a local one. How will your scalable software impact others who live here? Why are you building a mobile dev team here? What benefit do your e-commerce sales get from being managed here? People are different. Some care a lot about where they're doing the work they're doing. Some people don't think it matters that much. But for almost all, I've always found a kind of mixed-up uncertainty about when we ask those questions. Because for us mobile and privileged and educated knowledge workers, we often have moments where we ask ourselves, are we where we're supposed to be? It's something I've talked about with this guy I know.
My name is Wes Garnett. I am from Wilmington, Delaware. I've lived here my entire life, all 32 years. I'm an entrepreneur. Currently, I'm working on a product around health and wellness for people living with chronic conditions.
So we publish in Brooklyn and Philadelphia, Baltimore, and D.C. There are all these fantastically creative cities full of fantastically creative people who are exploring the world, but also choosing to work together with those who live nearby. People who go to the same events and hang out at the same bars, maybe even read the same local tech news site. In Delaware, where we also report with an even smaller tech community in those cities, still new at building its network of technologists and founders, it happens too. In fact, we're finding it really happens everywhere right now. Future makers doing the very old act of working with their neighbors. And this is important because the very nature of what we're building and how we're building successful and diverse communities has changed. I had a conversation about this with Richard Florida. He's a global research professor at NYU, this pop urbanist. You know him because he wrote the book Rise of the Creative Class. He said he talked about that change with another academic not so long ago.
And I asked him the same question you did. I said, you asked me, what is the difference between economic development yesterday and today? And he said, you know, we're no longer big game hunters. We fashioned ourselves big game hunters out on the safari of economic development, hunting the big game. Now we really have to do the things which cultivate a wide variety of smaller things. You know, as Jane Jacobs would have said, we have to build this kind of organic up from the bottom, harnessing people's energy. And it's a much harder thing because economic development no longer is that one shot at a big game, the big factory. Economic development is doing 1,000 little things.
And in a place like Delaware that has lost automobile plants and suburban factories like so many other places, Wes, the guy we talked to, he's the star of the future. He's one of those 1,000 little things. He's leading a 4-person team, building health IT software, selling it to big hospitals. He's already a landmark success story for tiny 70,000-person Wilmington. And for all the downtown credit card companies and law firms there, Wilmington still also has this violence problem, has an education and schools problem. But there's Wes, a native of Wilmington, going to Delaware Technical Community College, getting a user experience job. Then in 2010, he co-founded the city's first co-working space. At a startup weekend a few years ago, he founded Kirby, that startup he talked about. He's helping with people with chronic conditions build healthy daily routines. I've known him for a few years now. We all know someone like him in any of these nascent communities. He's likable, and he's smart, and he's cool. People want to know him. They want to hang out with him. He's part of this first generation of Delaware tech entrepreneurs, the kinds we've seen in those other cities, the cities you know. He helps make it easier for others to stay. And I meet with people like him at the Coin Loft, that co-working space he co-founded. And he's part of this growing conversation about an innovation corridor in Wilmington, a short walk from the Amtrak station. That's why I was a little surprised when sitting in a conference room at the Loft, he said this to me.
In about a month or so, I'm moving to Madison, Wisconsin.
Wait, what? Moving to Madison? Now, all respect to Madison. Madison's the home of a brainy university. Has a major healthcare customers there. They also spin off a lot of talent that he could hire. It's a small city like Wilmington, but it's safer and it's cleaner and it's full of other young and cool business leaders like him. On technically, we've done for years this semi-regular feature in all our markets. We call it exit interview. Simple profile of a technologist or an entrepreneur who's leaving the market they live in. We ask why, try to put it in a broader context, and better understand that perception of place. And nothing we've ever done has consistently gotten people mad at us than our doing those exit interviews. Because each one stings. Sure, people leave cities all the time. We know that. There's always been a natural flow of people in and out of cities. But whenever a small community, like a tech community in a new market, is growing, trying to raise its standards and get more serious to do better work, welcome new smart people, it depends so much on the early leaders. They're all committed together. The trailblazers, the people who give up that exploration to dig in, connect the dots, and make something special there. When someone leaves, it's like a little tear on that community. Years on, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, D.C., there's less angst when someone leaves a tech community. There are more hands on the steering wheel. But Wes, in Delaware, can't we keep him at home?
I hit a point working here at the Coin Loft. I hit a point where I realized if I wanted to see startup activity happen, like, I hadn't built a startup. So, like, how could I tell people what I think it could be?
And he's doing the things that he thinks he has to do to get it done. And it's happening all across the country, right? People are moving. In the sense of tech communities, they're moving to find that customer, find that co-founder, that investor. Richard Florida, he's not so worried about this. He says there's this is the shakeup of a mobile workforce.
So all of these assets, and I really think for the entrepreneur, it's really a question of do you want to go to a place that's emerging? Do you want to go to a place that's done? And, you know, I've always called this who's your city, right? You have to make the best decision for you. And I think that really depends on what you want to take on and what you want to achieve. But in my mind, at least from what I'm seeing, is that there's a lot of younger entrepreneurs who really like making a place better. And the one place that comes to mind when I think about that is, you know, what's happening in downtown Detroit.
So Detroit or Baltimore or D.C. or wherever, so when you can build a business or have a career anywhere, the focus instead is now about building that best community for the people you want to attract there. So you can't fault someone for leaving. You have to thank them for what they've done for a place and just ask that they help spread the good word of your community elsewhere.
Madison is just a good place for me as a person. It felt so much like home that I literally thought at one point that I could hop on 95 and come back home real quick.
And so all that sense of place, it got me thinking that we don't actually choose a place to live. We choose a time in a place to live. Maybe Wilmington in 2013 was right for Wes. Madison in 2015 will be better. Maybe for you, it's D.C. in 2015 and Chicago in 2016. If Brooklyn in 1998 was right for you, maybe Baltimore is right for you now. Or maybe not. The point is that it doesn't matter. That's what's happening now. Video conferencing and social media, it doesn't make places matter less. It makes them matter more, but it can matter more everywhere and anywhere. No one should ever make you feel badly about where you want to live. We've worked so hard to create this mobility. We're only now experiencing it in work and life. The only work worth doing, then, is making the best version of wherever you live, even if that might just mean it's better for someone in the future that's not you.
And I don't want people to get discouraged that, like, someone that they thought was a representative of the tech community is, like, leaving the tech community. I wouldn't describe it as leaving to me. I think I just describe it as, like, replanting in different soil so that the nutrients that come out of the venture can actually feed, you know, the thing that I care about the most.
So find the right place in the right time for you. Be happy and let others do the same thing. Thank you.